mighty men and women of the Lord. But before we get into being a mighty battler for the Lord Jesus Christ, there's some things we might want to consider. Who are you following on this earth? Jesus says quite plainly, as you know, we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, and I think, Lord willing, this might be the end of the series of the Sermon on the Mount. And thanks, Odette, for the giggle. we've been there a long time, you know, but there's a lot of things to be taught through that. If we will really listen to what Jesus laid out in that Sermon on the Mount and apply those to our lives, I tell you, we would be a more perfect people, right? Anytime that I like the writing in red, amen, the things that Jesus taught, the way that he taught. And last week, as we were in the scripture and going through it, he told us to not to be a hypocrite, right? He said, if you have any sin in your life and you want to complain about somebody else, first remove the plank from your own eyes before you worry about the speck in your neighbor's eyes. As he was talking about that, he starts talking about going into the straight gate in the narrow way. Verse 13 of chapter 7 of Matthew, if y'all will open up your books there, your Bible books. Dear Father, before we get into the Word of God today, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would lead, guide, direct us. Father, that you would keep me, Lord, as I'm speaking today, direct in your word, Father. Keep my opinion and my mind pressed down, Lord, but lift up your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that as the word is preached today, you will touch hearts, that you will move people and get your church, your children, your offspring, Father, in the correct mindset to serve you and to know the difference between light and darkness, truth and lies. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
And in verse 13, he's telling the people there that are sitting and listening to the teaching, he says, "Enter ye in the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few be that find it." Even in those two verses that were spoken of, Jesus tells us that there's a way that's right. All right? There's a way that's right, and only a few folks find it. It's a narrow path. It's a little way. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man gets to the Father except through me," right? We cannot get to where we need to be in a right understanding of God in Christ alone except through him. We can't get to the Father through him, except through him. So we need to start as he rolls into that. He says, "Broad is the way that leads to destruction, narrow is the way that leads to the gate of righteousness and life." We need to really pay attention to who we're paying attention to. His next word is beware. Beware, and that's where we're going to be talking up about today. Beware, beware of who you're listening to. Beware of what you're following. Jesus gave all of these instructions that lead to life. And he says it leads to righteousness. It leads to peace everlasting. You need to beware of who you are following and the way that you follow. Beware of which path you choose, because there's a broad one and there's a narrow one. Beware which way you go. And you need to know the way to the straight gate. You need to know it, because there's many people out here standing behind pulpits teaching other gospels which are not gospels at all. There's other people, there are people who are not preaching out of the Word of God. Today, right now, this Sunday, there are people scattered across America that are being fed a lie, and they're eating it as the truth. Why? Because a man behind a pulpit is telling them something. People, do not believe anything I say, but check whatever I say through the scripture. All right? You follow the Bible. You follow Jesus Christ. Never follow me. Don't follow a man. You follow the Lord. Now, as I'm walking with the Lord and you need help and we can walk together, then yeah, I'll come. We can walk side by side in this life and we can get to where God wants us to go. But you make sure through studying the Word of God that I'm doing the right thing. And you know what? I'm going to study the Word of God, make sure you're on the right path too. All right? And we will strengthen each other as we go on this walk, as we go on this journey together as the body of Christ. Amen? That's our goal. That's what we're looking for. But Jesus says, listen, right after he talked about going into the straight gate, going that narrow way, beware of the broad way, beware of the mega churches, all right? Beware of the hundreds of thousands of people flocking together because they hear God's all love. There's no judgment. You don't need to repent. You say the prayer, pray after me, and you slide into home. Beware of that. Beware of the wealth and prosperity gospel. Because Jesus didn't promise us that. He said he'd give us life more abundant, but he didn't say what that abundance looks like. Amen? Right? You follow him and he will give you that abundance of life. And so as we get back to the scripture here, Jesus says, beware of false prophets, of which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. Jesus says, beware of the false teachers because they look like sheep. You look at some of the false teachers, now I'm not going to name names today, all right? And the reason I'm not going to name names is because you as a child of God should know what's right and what's wrong, right? I'm not going to talk about anybody else's religion because religion is something that leads you away from the relationship with God. I'm not here to cast stones at nobody. I'm here today to strengthen the body of Christ that you know the truth of God's word and who to follow and who not to follow. And listen, as I said to begin with, who are we supposed to follow? Name starts with you, not me. You say him aloud.
Jesus.
All right, I thought he said you. I said, you don't follow Curtis Fitz. Right? Who you do follow is Jesus the Christ. Amen? You follow him. You follow his word. And if you're following his word, applying his word to your life, you don't have to worry about me not teaching something that's correct because you will know what is truth that will set you free. Amen? You don't follow one preacher or another preacher or that preacher, this religion or that religion. You strive to have a correct relationship with the Most High God. Beware of anybody that is teaching another gospel that doesn't talk about the blood, that doesn't talk about repentance, that doesn't talk about crucifying the flesh, that doesn't talk about what sin really is. Because there's a lot of people out there standing behind pulpits today that says God will never judge you. All you got to do is say the prayer, repeat after me, and you have all of your sins always and forever and ever and ever forgiven. I don't see that anywhere in Scripture where it says, pray after me. All right? I do see where you accept Jesus Christ. You surrender to the power and the authority of God. Right? And he shall direct your paths. You surrender to him. I'm getting ahead of myself. I need to go back to my notes. Jesus talking about false prophets. Be careful. Because they look like sheep, but they're actually wolves. Ravenous wolves. But they sound like a sheep, they sound like they're you, they sound like they're part of the church of Jesus Christ, but really what these false prophets, which means teachers or preachers, right, these false teachers, what they do is they're dragging you away from the real true God, teaching you something that is not true, right? Jesus said, I am the truth, right? He is the truth. Truth is not a concept. Truth is a person. And if somebody's standing behind a pulpit teaching you something else besides Jesus Christ, his death, his resurrection, do not follow those. Beware of those people. Stay away from that false doctrine. Doctrines of demons that are being preached from millions of pulpits even now. Paul was writing to the church in Acts chapter 20, verse 28 and 30. Says, take heed. Therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Talking to the pastors now. The Holy Ghost has given me you guys to feed. Alright? He's allowed me to do this. Now I need to take take heed as an overseer to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Who do you really belong to? Jesus. You belong to Jesus. He purchased you with his own blood. You don't belong to Charity Bible Church, all right? You don't belong to the Baptist Church. You don't belong to the Catholic Church. You don't belong to the Presbyterian Church. You belong to Jesus Christ. He purchased you with his blood, all right? For I know this, Paul writing, and he says, I know this, that after my departing, grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves men shall arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. I have heard and seen way too many people, pastors, start. They start with a small congregation like this, then they grow and they grow and they grow, and then all of a sudden people start worshiping the pastor. Okay, pastor gets a big old bubble head, right? And he starts thinking that he's more than what he is. And he says, well, then he starts having these delusions of grandeur. I've got to live in a multi-billion dollar home. Oh, really, church, I got to have this special Learjet where I don't have to deal with the sinners and the demons and the airplanes, right? I got to have something special about me that puts me apart from everybody else. Now listen, if that's the pastor that you're listening to, if you're listening to him on the radio, if you're watching him on the TV, if you're listening to him on the internet, you're listening to somebody that's teaching you something except for the Word of God, turn off the garbage. Beware, Jesus says. Beware of the false prophet. Beware of somebody who's teaching you something else besides that. Paul said that that ravenous wolves would enter in among the flock. All right, and they would draw away disciples after them. Oh, a true prophet. Oh, man. Jesus, God has had so much to say about this. Jeremiah chapter 23. 24, 23. I need to go back a little bit. Say amen when you get there. And put a marker in Matthew here for me. Amen. He says, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 1. Woe be to the pastors which destroy and scatter of my pasture, saith the Lord. Now, who's he talking to?
You.
Amen. He's talking to me. He's talking to anybody who stands in front of a group of people and starts teaching them something else and taking them away from the truth of God's word. He says, woe be to the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my flock. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. I tell you, if you're a pastor and you're driving people away, are taking people into you and not giving them to Christ, you're feeding them something that is not the whole Word of God. Listen, I see, I hear, I know that too many people nowadays are following pastors that are not preaching the Word of God. All right? They're preaching another gospel. And Jesus says through the prophet Jeremiah, woe to you guys, I got something for you. As he goes on, he says, I will raise up a shepherd as unto David, right? He will be the branch of righteousness, right? And he's talking about Jesus coming, all right? So the Lord God's talking to Jeremiah and saying, listen, we know we got some bad pastors out there, but don't worry, I got somebody on the horizon that's going to come, and he's going to set things straight. He's going to be Jesus the Christ. Don't worry about, listen, if you're a pastor and you're teaching incorrectly, God's got something for you. God's going to take care of all those fake TV evangelists that people are sucked into, all those fake radio evangelist preachers that people are being led away from the cross of Jesus Christ to another gospel, God's got them. Don't worry about them. All right? But you, as the body of Christ, you follow the Lord. Right? As for me and my house, I'm going to follow Christ. As for you and your house, you need to follow Christ. Remember that you are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Whereas he lives in you. You are a building of the Most High God. And he says, listen, you need to be focused on me where I am and do the things that I tell you to. Don't follow anybody. Jesus said, beware, because these ravenous wolves are coming. Paul says, beware, because these ravenous wolves are coming. Peter, we're going to look at him in a second. Peter said, beware, because these ravenous wolves are coming. But how do we know which one's a ravenous wolf? Because they're dressed in sheep's clothing. They sound like us, right? They look like us. They might even say the right words, right? Jesus, later in this same portion of Scripture, talking about those false prophets, he says, not everybody who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Right? Now, just because they're saying the right thing, just because they're looking what we think they ought to look like, just because it sounds, you need to examine, you need to look at these people's lives and judge them by their fruit. In fact, Jesus saying in the very same portion of Scripture right here back in Matthew, says that you will know them by their fruits. How will you know which one is a ravenous wolf? Check his life out. I mean, really, check him out. Is he really living the gospel? Is that person that's preaching to you really walking in the holiness of God? Check out his life. Way to look at him. Pastor, I want to just see your checkbook. I want to see, do you really pay tithe? All right? Pastor, I want to see, I want to look on your computer. Kind of look on your computer for a minute. I want to look and see what you're really doing. I want to watch you outside of the church and see how you deal with individuals. Are you an honest man? Are you stealing from people? Pastor, are you doing something and telling me not to do it? Are you living in adultery and telling me not to commit adultery? Are you a drunkard and telling me not to drink? Right? Are you a wolf in sheep's clothing? Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord. Right? Follow me as I follow the Lord. There are some things that we need to look for. Oh, in the time that we're living in fact, Jesus knew about this time in Mark chapter, of course he knew about this time, Mark chapter 13, I think it's verse 21 and 22. He says, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is the Christ, or lo, he is there, believe them not. For false Christ and false prophets shall arise and shall show signs and wonders and subdue, if possible, even the elect, those chosen ones. But take heed, behold, I have told you so before it happens. I added before it happens. All right, Jesus is saying, listen, I know that there are going to be people who are fakers that are going to come on the scene. And they're going to tell you that they are the Christ, that they have the power. How many folks have you heard this on the TV evangelist? I have the power to heal you. No, they don't. It's not theirs to wield. I'm not saying that God cannot heal people. He heals people all the time. I'm not saying that God is not in the miracle business, because he's still in the miracle business. But I'm telling you, if you are a person and you call yourself a healer, and you're not going to the hospital and touching people with cancer and helping them get out of it, you are a liar, and God's going to deal with you. And the problem is people, the flock of God, are watching these things, and they think that they're following the man and not the Christ. They're following the fellow who calls himself a prophet, but in him there is no prophet. All right? In him there is no Holy Ghost. They're doing it for filthy lucre. They're doing it because they want to have the new jet plane. They're leading people away by the droves. So how do we know what they look like? How do we know when they're in our presence? Flip, if you will, to 2 Peter. 2 Peter has the whole chapter of 2 Peter. All right, the whole chapter of 2 Peter is going to point us out to those folks, the evidences of false teachers. Because some of you may be being fooled right now and you don't even know it. Right? Some of you may be listening to things on the radio that ain't the truth. Some of you may be going to different churches or going to different places, going to different Bible studies that are teaching something that is not what the Bible says. Jesus said that those false preachers and false Christ are even going to be doing signs and wonders that would draw away even the chosen ones, the elected ones, if it were possible. That's why we need to beware, right? Chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily, shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. See what Peter said right there? There are false prophets, false teachers, bringing in damnable heresies into the church, denying the Lord that bought them. All right? I know that there's many religions that say they preach out of another gospel of Jesus Christ. Right? I know that there are many religions that say that Jesus is the brother of Lucifer. Right? Those are damnable heresies. And people are being sucked into them. Sucked into them by signs and wonders. By the pizzang. By the shiny stuff. Ooh, shiny stuff. I want to get over the shiny stuff. There are folks who are saying, hey, here's a damnable heresy. You can't be saved unless you speak in tongues. All right? That's damnable. If you are teaching that, you are on the verge of being damned by the Most High God. You've got to be saved. Baptism brings salvation. Unless you're baptized, you're not saved. Well, tell that to the thief on the cross. There's another damnable heresy. You've got to pray to the priest so the priest can pray to the Father for you. That's a damnable heresy. You've got to pray to Mother Teresa. All right, Mother Mary. You've got to pray to one of the prophets to get closer to God. That is a damnable heresy. How many advocates do we have?
One.
What is his name?
Jesus.
You need nobody stand between you and the throne room of grace. You got one mediator, the Lord Christ Jesus. Every knee is going to bow, right? They ain't going to bow to the Pope. They're not going to bow to Hare Krishna or to Buddha or to the Presbyterian Church or the Baptist Church or the Catholic Church or any other group of individuals you want to call to. They're going to bow to the very high calling of Christ himself. Oh, but there will be folks that are drawn away by the dozens. That's why Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Because people are easily fooled. Verse 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. For by reason of whom the way of truth is spoken evil of. Oh, those false prophets that have all of the huge churches, the multi-gazillion billion-dollar homes and jet airplanes and super long stretch cathedral driving buses and all that garbage, right? All that stuff, and their people that they're ministering to are living off of crumbs or in old folks' homes and can't afford their own medicine. And these damnable, ugh! There's words in my flesh that I'm struggling to keep back. Because it makes me angry. They will give an account. They will stand before God someday. And they'll give an account to every poor widow that they stole from. Every poor person that was in a wheelchair and said, yeah, just send your money to me and I'll send you a prayer cloth. Oh, Lord, have mercy on their soul. And verse 3. Through covetousness shall they be fain. All right, fain. They sure spelled that weird, didn't they? F-E-I-N, fain. There's no A in it. But anyhow, it's fain. With fain or vain or false words, fain words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now for a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them in the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, and condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto that after should live ungodly, and delivered the just Lot vexed with the filth conversation of the wicked. Now look at what Paul Peter's writing right here. He said God's going to take care of this. If God handled the angels that sin, he's going to handle those preachers that lead away the sheep of God. If God handled the world that was sinning against when Noah was building the ark, he was a preacher of righteousness. He saved him and eight other people. Everybody else died. Every human, everything died in the flood except Noah, what got on the ark. Amen. Everything else died. If God judged them, he's going to judge those unprofitable prophets, those fake teachers. All right? And if he turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ash, don't you think that he's going to judge those who say it's okay to live in a homosexual relationship? Don't you think he's going to judge those? Or he's going to judge those folks who say it's okay to live with a woman and not be married to her? Don't you think he's going to judge those folks who are stealing and robbing and murdering? Don't you think he's going to judge those doctors who rip out babies by the roots and kill them on the tables? Don't you think God's going to judge those people? Amen. He is. And don't you think he's going to judge those folks that don't just do them, but that agree with them? Read Romans chapter 1. Not just those who do such things, but those who agree with those who do such things. Oh, folks, we got to wake up. The church needs to be aware. Now, he's talking about the ungodly pastors. He says in verse 10, chiefly them that walk after the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness, and despise the government. They're pompous, they're self-willed, not afraid to speak evil of the dignitaries. And verse 12, I've got to speed this up a little bit. In verse 12, he says, they're natural brute beasts, made to take and destroy, speak evil of the things which they understand not. They shall utterly perish in their own corruption. They shall receive of the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count in pleasure and riot in the daytime. Verse 14, he's talking about them. Remember, he's talking about the false prophets here and those who follow him. Their eyes are full of adultery. They cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart that have not exercised with covetous practices. Cursed children is what they are, verse 15, which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who love the wages of unrighteousness. Verse 17, he says, these are wells without water, clouds that carry with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great and swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. These are those that were cleansed escape from them who live in error. If you've been cleansed, you need to get away from those who are living in error. They're living outside of what God has called them to do. Verse 19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, for the same is brought into bondage. For, verse 20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For if they it had been better if they had not known the way of righteousness, then after they had known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened unto them According to a true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit, and the sow that is washed to her hollow in the wallow in the mire. See, Jesus is saying, beware of those false prophets. You need to look at them. You need to be able to examine who they are and be able to tell who they are, because they look like sheep. They might even use scripture. You know that? They'll preach to you out of the Bible, but they'll take a piece of scripture and they'll stretch it way out of, they'll take it out of context and teach you something that is away from what the Word of God says. Remember chapter 2 of 2 Peter here, he's talking about the false prophets, and all those things that he's talking about in chapter 2 are the false prophets and those who are drawn away after them. All right? And how is somebody drawn away after a false prophet? They don't know their Bible. They're not reading their Bible. They're not following the Holy Spirit. Right? It's not just the false prophet that's drawing them away. It's those sheep that aren't studying, aren't eating after the good pasture, aren't eating after the good of the Word, aren't following the righteous God of Israel, are not doing what the Bible tells them to do. They're easily sucked away into this false doctrinal teaching that draws them into damnation. It would have been better if they had never known the way of the Lord than to have known the way of the Lord and turned back to the way of the world. Oh, folks, church, we need to wake up, because we are coming to the end of days. Who here senses that? Do you sense that we're closer to the end than we were the beginning? Amen. It may be another 100 years. I'm not trying to put a time limit on this, but I'm saying there are things that are happening today, people being washed away by false doctrine, by false teaching, believing the lie instead of believing the truth, going the way of the world, going the way of Balaam, right? Desiring the wealth of this world and rejecting the gold of the heaven, the true treasures that where a thief can't break in, a moth can't eat, and corruption can't touch. Amen. We're more concerned about the garbage, and we love this world more than we love the truth of God's Word. Oh, folks, we need to wake up. We need to wake up, because we're closer to the end than we are the beginning. Peter said, they will follow the perditious ways by reason of them, of the way of truth was spoken evil of. On Titus chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul writing to Titus, he says, there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, even in Paul's day, talking to Titus. He says, especially of them of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert the whole households, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. Pastors teaching people for money. Right? Talked to a young man, thought he was going to follow the Lord. I had a lot of plans for this young guy, you know. He went to Bible college. He went, as far as I could tell, he left as a Christian, but he came back as an atheist. He left as a young man who wanted to serve the Lord, but as I talked to him when he came back, he said, I really wanted to do it for money. That obviously you ain't seen my paycheck. Right? Anybody who preaches, I'll come preach in your town, but you got to make sure that I'm staying at the 5-star hotel down the street. I'll come preach at your town, but I've got, what do they call that, a per diem? Where you get paid so much just to show up? Is that what it's called? Yeah. And so if you pay me a $20,000 per diem, I'll come to your town, right? But if you don't pay me that, I'm not coming. If you don't make sure that I don't have my entourage paid for, I'm not going to show up. There's a lot of big, big starlight pastors that do that. They have huge followings. Oh, but if you can't guarantee me that I'm going to make my $1.5 million when I come to your town, I ain't going to come to your town and teach the Word of God, because you ain't paying me enough. That's preaching for filthy lucre. Somebody who preaches the Word of God ought to do it whether they're paid or not. Listen, if I need more money, I'll go to work. Amen? Worked every day I've had off this month. You know? I'm not saying that for any special reason or nothing like that. I don't do this for filthy lucre. For the first 3 years that I preached in this church, I didn't draw a paycheck. Right? I don't do this for money. And then the next 5 years after that, I did it for $500 a month. Dude, I was breaking in the dough. Right? 60 hours a week of study and preparation for five. Anyhow, you don't do this to get rich. This ain't a retirement plan, folks. But there are those who will only preach for money. Woe to them. And the sad part about it is at the end of times, this is 1 Timothy. Hold on a second. Let me run through my mind. Chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Oh, I went way past it. See, at the end of time, folks are going to be looking for these kind of guys. Oh, yeah. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with... See, I got the New King James in my mind. I memorized it that way. Sometimes I speak it out without reading. Excuse me. I need King James. King James says it this way. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. See, New King James has as in there. All right, it's not as. It says having it. Forbidding to marry. What's that tell you? What group of people tells you you can't marry? Hey, all right, now I told you I'm not going to say it. Y'all know who it is. Now, what kind of mess came out of that? You can't marry, so I'm going to start raping your children. All right, because I can't marry. All right, commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. You know, I can't eat that pork sandwich. Right? Wait a second, God cleaned pork. Right? Pork is good. I like a bacon sandwich. I like a BLT. But there are religions out there that tell you that you can't eat certain meat. God said if you give thanks for it, eat it. Lord, thank you for this possum sandwich. Mmm, that's good. It's all right to eat squirrel. It's okay. Don't let nobody tell you you can't have a catfish. Catfish are good. They are. But they were unclean in the Judean law. Shrimp. Everybody likes shrimp. Shrimp are unclean. Lobster. You like lobster? I like a good lobster. I like a bad lobster. Never had a bad lobster. Anyhow, I like them. Right? But there are some religions that say that you can't eat that stuff. God says he cleaned it. God hath created to be received, talking about those things, with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if you receive it with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. All right? But there are those false preachers, false religions that say, unless you do this, you can't have a relationship with God. Unless you're baptized, unless you're christened at a certain time, unless you're circumcised at a certain time, unless you eat this, unless you talk that, unless you dress this way, you can't know the Lord unless all you women have your heads covered. Right? And that's false religion. And there are people who will live and swear by that. Right? There's some folks say that I shouldn't be a pastor. A lot of folks say that, Curtis, you can't be a pastor because you have a past. You know, before you knew the Lord, you were married and you got divorced. Since you got divorced, you can't be a pastor. Nobody told God that. I think God's called me to be a pastor. I mean, I'm not trying to blow smoke up my own skirt or nothing, but I think I stay pretty close to the Word of God. I think I'm not teaching untruth here. If I am, please, somebody, show me. Oh, 2 Timothy 4 says pretty much the same time, same thing. 2 Timothy chapter 4. verses 1 through 3. I charge you therefore before God the Lord Jesus Christ that you shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. preach the word instant, in season, and out season. For the time will come, I skipped a little bit there, let me start all over again. I memorized this out of the New King James because I preached out of it for a long time until I realized that the New King James is not what it ought to be. Amen? And so, anyhow, chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season, reprove and rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. What's he tell the preachers to do? Be able to preach all the time, all right? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers with itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, enduring afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Test it out. Make full proof of the ministry. Why? Because as we preach the word, less and less and less people are going to want to hear the real preaching of God's word. They're, you know what they want to hear? Oh, just live your sinful life. God loves you anyhow. You don't need to repent. God, he died on the cross for the sin of the world, so you just keep on sinning. Well, should I sin all the more that grace may abound? God forbid. Stop that stinking thinking. Right? But we are in a time right now where people, they have been seduced by these fancy preachers with a $2 million smile. Right? They wear those cow hair suits, you know. Well, not cow hair, camel hair suits. Them $50,000 clothes and stuff like that. I tell you, this came right off of JCPenney's right here. Right? All right? Now, the only good camel hair suit I ever saw in the Bible was the one that John the Baptizer was wearing. Right? That was a good camel hair suit. Right? He had a beard like yours, only grasshoppers and honey stuck in it. Listen, folks, you need to be careful who you listen to. Back to Matthew. You'll know them by their fruits. All right? We talked about some fruits here. We talked about the way that false preachers teach and stuff like that. We need to get back to what Jesus said, because what he says, the main thing. Amen? I mean, what I say is might be make you smile or whatever, but what Jesus says, that's what makes the difference. And so, he asked us in verse 16 of chapter 7, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. If you want to know what kind of preacher you're listening to, look at his life. Not just what he says. Something that a good brother of mine says, good root, good fruit. Bad root, bad fruit. All right, what's going on? How's that preacher really? Is he really living the gospel? Is he loving people the way that Jesus told him to? Or is he just in this for filthy lucre? Because there will be those who come up that only preach for money. They'll do it for their own fame. They want a good pat on the back. Pastor, that's a good sermon. Personally, I like it when they say, Pastor, that sermon bothered me. It bothered me so much, I got to change my life. You know, I'm glad that you stepped on my toes. I'm glad that hurt. Man, praise God. I'm going to repent. I'm going to stop doing that stuff. But verse 17, so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth good fruit, not good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. Okay, wait, remember he's talking about false teachers here, right? Talking about false prophets. If you're not making good fruit, what's God say he's going to do to you? Cut you down and burn you alive. Pretty serious, ain't it? Not everyone, verse 20, wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is heaven. in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not preached, prophesied, taught? All right, that's what that word means. Have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Some of those preachers that all dress in white, those million-dollar suits, driving those big old fancy airplanes, they're going to say, oh, Lord Jesus, didn't I touch somebody on the forehead one day and they fall down? Didn't they get healed? Didn't I give them a prayer cloth one day, and didn't I do some... I. Didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? But Jesus looks past all of it. He didn't say that God didn't use them in that capacity, but he says, I never knew you. You were never born again. You were never one of mine. I never trusted you. You were not speaking for me. Did I do work in spite of you? Absolutely I did. But I didn't know you. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have I not cast out devils? And in thy name done many works? And then Jesus, it says, Jesus profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Depart from me, you who are living in continual sin without repentance. Depart from me, you liar, you thief, you adulterer. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Get out of my face, you worthless dog. They thought they were saved. They thought that they were a preacher. Well, they said, Lord, Lord. And I'll tell you, if you're a false preacher, if you're a false teacher, you know it. You know it. You know that you're only doing it for that new jet airplane. You know it that you're only doing it because you're living in the Fifth Avenue house. You know that you're a lying, stinking dog, and you need to repent. If anybody following those folks, get out from it. Get out. Beware of the false prophet. Beware of the false teacher. Beware of the man who's preaching a gospel that is not the gospel. Beware of the one who's preaching doctrines of demons. Beware of the woman that stands behind a pulpit. Okay? I don't care if her name is Beth Moore or Joyce Myers or any of the other women that preach and talk that garbage. Get out from underneath that teaching. It is not of God. That's going to make some pastors I know, their wives are pulling out their hair right now. Get over it. Stay away from that garbage. All right? And as a good sheepdog, and that's what I call myself, a good sheepdog, right? Jesus is the great shepherd. I just do what he tells me. And when Jesus tells me, Curtis, you got to go down and give those sheep of mine, those people of mine, some direction to keep them out of the danger. Teach them to beware. Direct them away from unrighteousness. Direct them away from preachers of ungodly doctrines. Bring them away from false worship. Listen, it's not the whiz-bang electric guitars and drums and spotlights and smoke machines and when the building has got to paint their ceilings black, folks, that's a dangerous place. I'm not trying to kick any pastors or nothing like that. They might be teaching great stuff, but if they're only teaching you cotton candy, what's that, rainbows and unicorns, they're only teaching you, a good shepherd will lead you to the best pasture. We're all parents, right? This ungodly thing that just happened a couple days ago, Halloween, right? And all your kids brought home candy, or at one time or another, if they brought home, or you go to the store and you buy a whole gallon of ice cream, would you let your kid just eat that whole gallon of ice cream before supper? I hope not. I hope not. I hope you say, you can't have any of that candy. You can't have any of that dessert. You can't have any of that pie until you eat your Brussels sprouts. When you eat your Brussels sprouts, then you can have some dessert. But if you only feed them dessert, you don't love your kid.
You want them to die of diabetes, right? You want them to weigh 780 pounds when they're 4 years old. You don't love your kid if you don't discipline them, bring them up in the right way. You don't love them if you don't give them guidance that leads them to life and that everlasting. And a false pastor will tell you nothing but the good stuff. He'll leave out the blood. He'll leave out repentance. He'll leave out dying to yourself. He'll leave out the thing that you need to do. Do you know that as a Christian, there's things you need to do? As a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, there's a line that God expects from you. Woe to the shepherd that doesn't teach that. That we're supposed to die to ourselves to live with him. Verse 24, and I'm going to do my best to finish this so we can start with something next week. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, hears these sayings of the Sermon on the Mount and applies them to their life. He does them. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. Who here wants to be able to stand in the midst of the storm? After the storm passes and everything else is washed away, you're still standing. I'm still standing, right? I'm still here. Why? Because I dug down through the layers of the earth. I dug down through the false teaching. I dug down through the garbage of this world. And I found Jesus Christ. And I put my anchor in there. And I will not be moved. Amen? You got to have that heart, that spirit. No matter what my mama did, no matter what my daddy did, no matter what my children are doing, none of that matters. As for me, I'm building on the rock. I'm digging down. I'm finding the holiness of God. I'm applying that. I'm not going to be a worker of iniquity before the Lord. I don't want you to be cast out. I don't want to be cast out. Listen, as a pastor, I'm going to be held to a stricter judgment than you. You know that? If I'm teaching things that are wrong, God's going to deal with me. And folks, I'm afraid of God. I fear him. All right? Folks, they say you shouldn't fear God. Then they don't know God. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I fear him. I really do. Yeah, he's made some great promises to me. But if I do not walk in his righteousness, he has the authority, he has the power, and he can crush me like a bug. He is God. I ain't. Right? I don't see one person standing before the Lord. They kneel, they fall down before God. If the angels fall down before God, you better bet you will. I'm going to get used to my bowing here. I'm going to dig down and build upon that solid rock. How about you? Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him unto a stupid, a foolish, an ignorant, inbred, worthless piece of building. Sorry, I added some stuff there. Anyhow, I will liken them unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Lesson. I can put this stuff out there week after week after week after week. But I can't make you do it. I cannot make you build your house on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. You got to do that. Amen? It's up to you. I can preach it. I can teach it. I can show you. You've heard that saying, I can lead a horse to water, but I can't make him drink. Right? I can bring the sheep into the proper pasture, but I cannot make you eat. I can show you the love of God, but I cannot make you love him enough to adjust your life to what he says. It's a personal relationship between you and the Lord. So what are you going to do with this? What are you going to do with this Sermon on the Mount that we've been in for weeks now? Are you going to believe it? Are you going to believe it enough to apply it to your life? This teaching? Are you going to be like these people that heard it in verse 28? And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Do you know that Jesus has the authority? This book right here has everything you need in it. Do you believe it enough? Oh, Lord. Oh, Romans chapter 10 comes to my mind. You believe and you confess the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved, right? But do you really believe it? I mean, there's... George, you've been here for a long time. We have baptized a lot. I've got a lot of people wet. Really have. You know? And I'm not saying they're saved or they're not saved, but I do know they're not present. Right? Brought a lot, has preached a lot of messages. And I don't know if any of those seeds fell on good ground. You know what? But every week I open up the book and I prepare, and guess what? I throw out seed every week. It's up to the hardness of your heart. Where are the thistles in your heart? Where's that pathway that the seed won't grow on in your personal life? Where are those places that need to be turned over and replanted? Are you prepared in your personal walk to dig down through the garbage of this earth to find that solid rock of Jesus Christ? And when you do, there build your house. Right? Don't follow your pastor. You follow the great creator God. Amen? I love you. I ain't got nothing else to say. You know? Not today, anyhow. I love you. Y'all have a great day. Let me go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your righteousness. I thank you for your word. Oh, Lord, I pray that this word would go out through the airways, and I mean just hundreds of people here, Father, and they would repent and turn back to you. Oh, Lord, that you would start a revival. Now, Lord, that you would start a bring up a group of people, even in this day, that we would desire you with the fullness of our hearts and lives and walk humbly before you, Lord, with a broken and a contrite heart, fearing the day, amen, because it is evil. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for those things in Jesus' name.